as I was thinking about the lesson I had brought, this one came to mind, and so I started putting it together, and I hope that it will be a benefit to you this evening. As I said, last Lord's Day evening, we looked at these three points when it came to our future. The Lord is going to return, and everybody's going to be there. We looked at the reality that all of your things, all of your possessions, your earthly possessions, are going to be dissolved. And that's something we need to recognize. And if we recognize that point, of course, what are we going to do? Well, we're not going to put all of our treasures here on earth, are we? We're going to be thinking about spiritual things. And then the last was the reality that we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We will all be judged according to the things that we have done, whether good or bad. So those are the things that are in our future. And Peter asks that most sobering question, you will recall. He says, knowing that these things are so, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And so this lesson will talk in the part of the present walk, some answer that question with regards to what Peter had asked there. In light of what lies ahead of each of us in our future, then we understand that now is the day, now is the time for us to be faithful. It's too easy sometimes to think about putting things off till tomorrow, putting them off till maybe next year, I'll do better. In reality, because we don't know when the Lord's going to come and we don't know, ultimately know the day of our death, we're told to be ready now and preparing now. And so in light of the truths, we need to be faithful. And so this afternoon, I want to start by quoting, this is something John F. Kennedy said in an interview when he was a senator, but he was running for the presidency. And he actually says that he believes he was quoting Abraham Lincoln. So when I actually tried to find who said this, it's kind of uncertain as to who said it. Most of the time you're going to find it associated with something that John F. Kennedy said. But he said, until you know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. And the first time I really heard that quote was actually in a Barry Manilow CD that I had. It was a live performance, and he mentioned this quote. So when I was thinking about our past, and let me tell us about our past, that quote kept coming to mind. So I looked it up, and that's what I learned. And again, the quote is, until you know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. And as a Christian, there's some importance to that, because we have to understand our past. We have to understand who we are, or rather who we were and where we're going. So as we've looked at the three things that are ahead in our future, I want to tell us some things about our past and some things about our present as a Christian. When we think about our past, your past in sin is to be that. It's supposed to be your past. And as Brother Easter has prayed, the reality is that we do fall short. We do sin, miss the mark in our life and our walk as a Christian, and we understand that to be so. But our mindset should be that of, this is our past. This is not who we are. This is not who we profess to be. Sin is in our past. And so look at the language in these passages. There's a number of them, as there were last week. But as we think about this point, about sinning is to be in our past, that's exactly how it is addressed in the Scriptures, as a past tense part of who we are. It's who we used to be. It's not who we are today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, begin reading with me in verse 9. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So Paul asks the question in the first part of that. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now the world would like that to be different and to read differently. They would like to believe that all of these individuals that are listed here, the drunkard, the idolater, the adulterer, the homosexual, the sodomite, the thief, the covetous person, the drunkard, the reviler, the extortioner, no, they're going to all go to heaven. But that's simply not what the Scriptures state. And I still can think back in my younger days when it really kind of hit what he's saying in verse 11. And such were some of you. That's a past tense thing. Think about what's going on. The brethren in Corinth, they're already Christians. And he's having to tell them, don't you know that these individuals will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, such were some of you. It's not who you are today. And yet, why would he say that to the church at Corinth? Well, if you know anything about the church at Corinth, you've got a man who is committing adultery with his father's wife, his stepmother, you might say. And the congregation is not even putting him to shame. In fact, it just seems like they're just ignoring it, hoping it'll go away. And so Paul has to deal with that in the fifth chapter. You've got the brethren at Corinth that apparently they're taking each other to court. And so he brings up that division. And you recall that he says that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it because he's heard this from the house of Chloe. And not only that, but they're all squabbling over who's got the best spiritual gift. And they all seem to want the one of speaking in tongues, as that was the grand poobah of spiritual gifts. They were also squabbling, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos. They were divided over who had baptized them and whose disciple they were. When Paul says, did I baptize any of you? In other words, Paul didn't save any of them like we talked about this morning. And yet there was all this division among them. And so Paul lists these various sins, and none is worse than the other. And that's something that sometimes it's hard to think, but no sin is less offensive to God than the other. I think that some of these we see as having greater consequence when we do these sins that he lists here. But this is a past tense thing. Such were some of you. You were washed, meaning your sins were removed. He says you were sanctified. What does that mean? Well, that means that they were set apart from the earthly things, and now they're set apart to the heavenly things. And so the past was dwelling and participating in the sinful things of the world, but now, again, we'll look more to the future, but that's a past tense situation. And so we have to look at our past life of sin as he states it here. Such were some of you. That's who I used to be. That is certainly not who I am today. And yet it's awfully easy for us to fall prey to the things in this life and to be drawn by worldly things, by fleshly desires, things that we see with our eyes, covetousness, and various things. But we need to always understand that our past is our past. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. But it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And we'll just pause there because that kind of leads us into a different thought. But what I want you to see here is two things. Paul said, first of all, he said, the gospel that I brought, the good news that we talked about, this power to save, he said it wasn't from man. He said, I got it from Jesus Christ. And the second thing is he says, you've heard of my what conduct? My former conduct. You've heard of how I used to be. And he goes on to tell about that. Paul was in a complete opposition to the Lord's church, to the spread of the doctrine of Christ, to stop people from following the way. He stood in direct opposition to Christ and his church. Hauling off brethren and throwing them into prison. He was right there and held the coats while they stoned Stephen. You remember? And he says, my former conduct. What's he saying? That's not who I am anymore. It's the way I used to behave. It's the way I used to be, but it's no longer who I am today. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, our scripture reading. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll kind of, since it's been read, we'll just kind of highlight some of the thoughts that are found here. And it doesn't take long in this section. In fact, you probably got a heading that says something about like the new man. And he says that you should no longer walk, verse 17, as the rest of the Gentiles walk. No longer walk that way. They had their understanding darkened. He says, but in verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. You see, now you're a Christian. So you don't go to those things. You don't look to those things. He says in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conduct. Just like Paul said, this is how I used to behave. He says that we have to put off the former conduct concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, verse 22. And you put on the new man. So, again, he stresses this idea of former behavior. And as a Christian, you know, we may have come into Christ and we may have had anger issues. We may have had various parts of our who we were. Maybe we like to lie. We found it very easy to do this. He's saying that was the former conduct and behavior. And we've probably all seen someone that comes to Christ and then we sit and go, I don't think anything really ever has changed here, has it? They really haven't changed in any way. Still got a filthy mouth. In fact, a preacher was telling me that he plays golf with an individual that's a member of the church, and he said, I don't know that I'm going to be able to play golf with him anymore because he just has a terrible temper, and I think he even uses curse words, but he blames it on the fact that he had been in the military in the past or something of that nature. Isn't that sad that a Christian can't learn to put off former things because they see the value and the sincerity or the seriousness, living for Christ? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, just back up. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you once conducted yourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now, we often look, me in particular, we'll look at verses 5 through 10 and so forth, but leading up to where he says that we are saved by grace, he talks about how we walked according to the things of this world. And that's again, this is this past context of in past tense, among whom we all once conducted, verse 3, ourselves in this way. This was our conduct. And I can tell you, and I've told you, I don't know that they give conduct grades anymore. Do they give conduct? Maybe in elementary school still? I'm not sure. Do they still give them in elementary school? My conduct grades were not good. And boy, did I get it. I've told you about the time in second grade where the teacher wrote, he talks too much, and my dad wrote, you take care of it at school, and I'm going to take care of it at home. And that was the deal, too. I got in trouble because that teacher was having to send a note home. And I think I've still got that somewhere. That's one of those things that, you know, but my conduct grade was a U, and which was the equivalent of an F. I mean, your teacher says, you know, his conduct is bad. It's not just C, it's bad. And so that conduct, see, that had to be, as I grew and I became a Christian, that had to be my past. I had to get my conduct under control. And that's the language that's being used. Former behavior. Past tense. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13. It's all over these epistles. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, in all your behavior. And again, he mentions the former, your former lust, as in ignorance. Now again, this doesn't say that ignorance is an excuse at all. But I think it's probably from the standpoint that it'd be like, yeah, you were really ignorant about this. You didn't recognize just how bad your conduct was, your former lust, right? But see, if you think about this picture that we're trying to look at, if we look at this in the right way, sinning is in your past and my past as a Christian. It's something we want to leave there. And I'm sure all of us have things that's our past. In fact, we sing the song, How Shall the Young Secure Their Heart? Is that the one that says, Sins of My Youth? Yeah, thank you. Forgive me of the sins of my youth. And boy, that one gets you if you think about the mistakes that you've made and sinful things in your past. We want that to be our past. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past life in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange, he says, that you no longer should live. Let me get in the right place. In regards to these things, they think it's strange, verse 4, that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And so, really, the contrast between the way we used to be and the way we are should be so stark that maybe those friends that we used to have see a big change and think it's strange, as he says, that you no longer want to participate in those things, because that's the past. That's the past. And that's why Paul said, listen to what he says in the last passage there, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul says, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. All the things, there was no value in any of those things. And so that's why he would also say, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God. And so that was his former conduct, and he says that I left all that behind. All the earthly achievements, the places he was going, as he says, that I may gain Christ. And so there's a lot of things that we'll forfeit now. So the second part of that is talking about our present. And look at how the scriptures address this very plainly as well. We are to live today for Christ. In fact, I put the word on the screen, we must live today for Christ. That's because our eternity, where we spend our eternity, is counting on this. It's counting on how we live today. So look at these passages in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 5 and 6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So today, what is the present? What's our conduct today? On this day, November the 25th, what is our life to be like? Well, he says that we are to be like Jesus Christ, and we need to walk like he walked. So we need to think about how Jesus dealt with people. We need to think about the things that Jesus said about our speech. We need to think about what he said about where we lay up our treasures. We need to think about what he says about loving our enemies. We need to think about the things that he says when it comes to being a wise man who built his foundation on the rock. And then when the things came, his house stood versus being foolish. I mean, all the different lessons that Jesus taught, the walk that he walked, we need to be mindful of. We are to live today for Jesus Christ, and we need to walk as he walked. And that's a present tense. See the difference? That's a walk now. Walking is do that, not walked, but walk. That's the way we are to be today. Galatians chapter 5 uses this same kind of language when it comes to a present behavior. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, he says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Now that's a past thing, crucified. That's what you did. Now notice what he says. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Well, of course, that immediately makes you start thinking about a lot of the things that we've talked about in the book of Romans, doesn't it? In our adult Bible class, we've been studying through Romans. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, it's what Paul was talking about. Now again, Paul is writing to Christians, and he has to make the point to them. Verse 3, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" That's a question. Don't we know that? As if some had forgotten that. Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried, we're buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised by the dead from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So in a new life, different than the old life, which he goes on to talk about, the old man of sin that we put to death. The attitude of verse 7, "For he who dies has been freed from sin." And that he says in verse 8, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Verse 17 and 18 over in to that section, he talks about how we are to be instruments, members for righteousness versus unrighteousness. And so again, it's an old way and a new way. Romans 13 and verse 13. Romans 13, 13. He says here, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in the reveling and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." So how are you supposed to walk today? Properly. And I tell you, it just seems like some of the things that are just used to be understood, maybe is a way to put it, as what's proper, now it's all in question. Is that proper behavior or not proper behavior? And it seems like we've got differences of opinion on that. And yet, let God's word be true and every man a liar. We need to understand that walking properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, not in lying, on and on and on we could say about how we are not to walk and how we are to walk. In Ephesians chapter 4, back over in Ephesians, Paul says in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." We have that responsibility. We talked this morning about letting our light shine. We have to walk worthy of the calling because we do a lot of damage when we don't. Oh, that's where so-and-so goes. That's where they go. I'm not going there. Why? Well, I don't know why they let them in the membership because, you know, this is who they are. And everybody around here knows it. They don't walk worthy of the calling that they profess. He goes on and he says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." So again, in this context, as he says there's one body and goes into this, we're talking about also how to get along with brethren in this present time. That we walk worthy of the calling wherewith we were called. How? Verse 2, I skipped. "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." How do you get along? How do we work well together? Well, we have to walk the way he tells us. walk worthy of the calling. We have to walk in lowliness. Well, what is that? Well, each one esteems the other better than themselves. No, nobody here has a haughty spirit. He says that we also do this in gentleness. It's really hard when there's a harshness and a gruffness. He also says with long-suffering, meaning we have to be patient with one another, right? We have to suffer long. Sometimes this will happen, you know. One of the kids will come and they'll be saying something about this or that, and I'll say, maybe they're having a bad day. Or, don't you remember what's going on in their life? It's probably pretty hard. So be patient, long-suffering. Don't take it personal. You know, they're having a bad day. And we have to do that. We have to learn how to do that. That's how a family gets along. That's how a congregation gets along. And he says, bearing with one another. And the key there is in love. Because I love you, you love me. We work these things out, right? We do the things in lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, and we bear with one another in love. And then the last passage there is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, for you were once darkness, which is our previous point, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What kind of responsibility do you have in the present to walk as a child of God? It's very important that we do that. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Walk as children of light. You know, it seems in all of these scriptures that our past is our past life. And it needs to stay in the past. We learn from it. We don't make the same mistakes, do we? Because we learned something from our past. And presently, we are to be giving our very best in our walk as a disciple of Christ. And I added the word very best. Because God wants us to give our very best when it comes to our present walk in His Son, Jesus Christ. One last passage in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, He says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's a present thing. That's a continuous thing. And he says you have to be willing to do this to be my disciple. And so that doesn't quit. We have to be willing to follow the Savior. We need to be willing to take up our cross and come and follow Jesus. And to do that, we have to bear our cross and come and follow Him. Well, if you're here this afternoon still, and you're not a Christian, it's a good time to put on Jesus Christ and walk in newness of life. As Paul says in Romans chapter 6, the old man of sin has to be crucified and put to death. And that escapes none of us. There's a time where we become accountable for our actions, and God knows when that is, and He knows when He is going to hold us accountable for the things that we've done that have transgressed His will. And maybe you're here tonight and you're ready to confess your belief in Christ so your sins might be forgiven. You're ready to turn from your past life and begin to follow Jesus. That would be the great step that you need to take to becoming His disciple and be baptized to have your sins washed away. Things are ready, and that can be done even tonight. Maybe you're a child of God and things are amiss or wrong. As Brother Easter prayed in his prayer, we're to confess our faults to one another and to pray for one another. So maybe you need to confess fault and wrong. We can help you in any way. We invite you to come.